Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. I couldn't be more thrilled to say, joined by a personal hero of mine, a man I've been privileged to consider a friend for, 20 years or so, I think now. He is Garry Kasparov, former world chess champion, a human rights and democracy advocate par excellence, a man of enormous intellect and courage who has sought both in his native land, the former Soviet Union, now Russia, and elsewhere around the world to espouse the cause of freedom and to try to help the rest of it, who take it for granted more often than not, to understand what's at stake and what we best do to protect it both at home and abroad. Garry Kasparov, welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. It's been far too long. We're delighted to have you. Thank you for joining us and Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year. Thanks for inviting me.
Garry, this happens to be the 70th anniversary today of the liberation by Soviet troops of the German death camp known as Auschwitz. I invite you to just ruminate on what the message, what the memory, what the lesson should be that we learn from that horror about not just Nazism and what Adolf Hitler was about, but totalitarianism more generally.
Well, that was a great moment in history in 1945. I believe that mankind was celebrating the relief after the horrors of Nazism without recognizing that that was not the end of the story. And while we are celebrating today the liberation of Auschwitz, the 70th anniversary, we should also remember that today, you know, in 2015, we're still facing the forces that probably not yet as bad as Hitler, but definitely are trying to follow his heinous crimes.
There are a number of candidates for that distinction. Maybe we could start with Vladimir Putin, the man that you have confronted now for an extremely long period of time, and I think reckoned with probably as well as anybody in Russia today. What is he up to, and what should we in the West be doing about what he's up to?
I think we should remember that, you know, while Putin or whoever is compared to Hitler, we should not, you know, jump on our chair saying, no, 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 it's impossible. Hitler was absolute evil. Nobody could be as bad as Hitler. But that means we're talking about Hitler from history books. But let's not forget, there was Hitler in 1935, in 1936, in 1937, 1938. And for Hitler to become the monster that we know that he was in 40s, you know, there were many years of appeasement, many years of ignoring the growing threat of Nazism for Europe and for the rest of the world. And when we look at Putin today, he has been employing not only Hitler's rhetorics, but also actions like Anschluss of Crimea, open blatant aggression against Ukraine, and also I believe that he is a spiritual ringleader of all the factions around the world who are gaining, if not direct material and military support from Putin, but also the moral support, because the very fact that the man who controls the second largest nuclear arsenal in the world opposes the values of the free world, that gives, of course, extra political strength to thugs like Kim Jong-un or Castro Brothers.
What do you say, Garry Kasparov, to those in the West who argue that Putin is, well, a natural ally against another totalitarian threat that we're facing? And I want to drill down on it in a moment with you. But staying with Putin just for a second, do you see Putin as a man that the West can safely and reliably do business with as we share a mutual threat from the rising tide of, Sharia and jihadism?
Now, we do not share any mutual interest with Vladimir Putin and the like. Putin has nothing to do ideologically with Islamic State, but they have the same interest in opposing free wealth. Because the success of liberal democracy, the success of free market, the success of the ideas that made this country and the free world great, directly threatens powers of these thugs that rely on this medieval form of governance. So that's why even if Putin somehow, you know, is willing to oppose Islamic State or Al-Qaeda, at the end of the day, they have the same common enemy. It's the free world and America as the leader of the free world. And for those who are arguing about some tactical cooperation on Iranian nuclear program or North Korea, I mean, I would like to ask them, show me the results. for 20 years, North Korean issue is still at the table. Iran is getting closer and closer. And what we could see, Russia has been steadily blocking all the efforts to stop nuclear proliferation.
Yeah, in fact, contributing to them, I think, in material ways, notably the Bushehr reactor in Iran. We're speaking with Garry Kasparov, the former world chess champion. He is also one of the co-founders of two important initiatives in Russia that have been countervailing forces against that sort of totalitarian regime, namely United Civil Front and the Other Russia Coalition. He's also the author of How Life Imitates Chess. It's been translated into some 20 languages around the world. And Garry, let me turn full bore, if I can, to what Putin is doing at the moment in Ukraine as kind of an example of the danger that he represents, not just to that country, but to others in the so-called near abroad and perhaps beyond.
Absolutely, because Ukrainian territorial integrity has been guaranteed by numerous documents signed by all Russian presidents, Boris Yeltsin, Vladimir Putin, Dmitry Medvedev, ratified by all Russian parliaments. But most important, in 1994 in Budapest, the memorandum has been signed between Russia, signed by Boris Yeltsin, the UK, Prime Minister John Major, and the United States of America, signed by President Bill Clinton, that guaranteed Ukraine's territorial integrity in exchange for this country giving up its nuclear arsenal. By the way, the third largest in the world, few people remember that, the third largest nuclear arsenal in the world has been given away back to Russia in exchange for securing Ukrainian borders. The very fact that today Russia under Putin ignore this document, and U.S. administration pretends that since this document hasn't included any provisions about military intervention and military support for Ukraine, that the United States today could walk away. But that's not the case, because if the document signed by the President of the United States has no real value, offers no protections, how can you expect other countries that are relying on the United States, like Japan or South Korea or many others, to trust that the United States government, in case of their necessity, will follow the line and will fulfill its obligations?
Yes. These are really thorny questions, needless to say, and I couldn't agree with you more that the reliability of the United States really is on the line here, and so many other areas besides Ukraine. Garry, turning to one other place where this war on modernity is being waged, as you've written about in the Wall Street Journal recently, is, of course, in the world that is, now governed by or under threat from this global jihad movement, those seeking to impose this doctrine of Sharia on all of us. What, in short, would be your recommendation as a master strategist of the first order to contend with this form of totalitarianism in our time?
When I played chess, I knew that the first, move to ensure your success is to evaluate position correctly. And unless we recognize that we are at war, and this is not our choice, it was not for our choosing, we didn't like it, we didn't want it, but the war has been imposed on us. And this is a war for extermination, because as long as America is prosperous, as long as the Western states can send an example to the rest of the world, about living standards and about freedom, it's all these radicals, Islamic radicals and other totalitarian groups, they're not safe. For them, the war against the free world and the war against the United States is the only way to survive. And unless we recognize that only the elimination of these groups, combined, of course, with our political agenda, with promoting aggressively our political agenda, combined with the grand vision for the future about, reorganizing the world of the world of politics and looking for United Nations and coming up with more sophisticated entities that are ready to solve problems, not only to freeze them, and entities that are based on respect for human rights and democracy, some form of global Magna Carta. Unless we come up with a combination of military, political, and social agenda, global agenda, nothing will happen.
Yeah. Garry Kasparov, we have to leave it at that. I'm sorry to say there's so much more to talk about. Your ideas on strategy, I think, track closely with the secure freedom strategy that we unveiled 2 weeks ago. I look forward to visiting with you at greater length about that. I hope you'll come back to us often in 2015. And in the meantime, thank you for your courageous leadership and example in difficult circumstances. Next up, Andy McCarthy will join us. We'll take stock of this war for the free world with him straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.